This episode is sponsored by Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy is dedicated to providing 100% carbon-free energy by 2050, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. Join Xcel Energy and you'll find a purpose-driven career, solid job security, and challenging work. Xcel Energy knows the value your military service brings to the workplace. It's an exciting time to be in the energy industry. Whether you're on active duty, transitioning, or already embarking on your civilian career, learn about the opportunities with one of America's leading utilities, Xcel Energy, at xcelenergy.com/military. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to challenge and support members of the military community to reach their peak potential in their civilian career. Today's episode number 336, Lessons from Tuck's Next Step Program with Margot Laurie.
I think about one of our alums who was kind of had hit a snag in his job search and sent me his transition dashboard, which is like a multi-tab spreadsheet with all of these resources and companies and, you know, a plan for this outreach, and everything was categorized. And he's like, look, I did all of this and I haven't heard anything back, or I haven't gotten anywhere yet. I'm like, just, you know, sometimes the world has to let things unfold for you. And I don't mean that in any sort of like mystical or religious way, but like, you got to give things time and patience. You've planted all these seeds, you've watered them, you have to let them grow for a little bit. And I know that's really hard, that I don't have that patience a lot of times too, but I think it's so important. Things become a little bit fraught if you overwork them.
In previous episodes, several of our guests have talked about Tuck's Next Step program, which is an accelerated way for military veterans and elite athletes to go deep on learning business fundamentals without having to spend 2 years getting an MBA. While we do talk about the Next Step program in this interview, we spend the bulk of our time talking about takeaways relevant to any military veteran, such as why it's just as valuable to disprove a potential career path as it is to find the right career path. We talk about why Next Step pairs elite athletes with veterans for their curriculum and how much these two groups have in common. I honestly had never put this together before, but when Margot explained it, it made incredible sense. We talk about the skills that will make veterans successful in the civilian workforce. We talk about patience and flexibility, and all sorts of other tips that you'll be able to put to use right away. If you like this episode, be sure to check out episode 180, Career Advice with Andy Chan, episode 222, Career Transition Advice from 16 Years of Recruiting with George Randall, and episode 239, Career Advice Number 2 with George Randall. And there's links for all three of those episodes in the show notes for this episode at beyondtheuniform.org. A special plug, we always put our links to resources in the show notes for each episode. You'll really want to take that out because Margot graciously coordinated with Andrew Sobel. He provides a $797 course called Building Relationships That Matter, and he's making it $99 for veterans. So there's a coupon code in the show notes to get that $800 value for just $99. Extremely high quality content if you want to go deeper. You'll also find at beyondtheuniform.org over 330 episodes just like this one, all completely free. Special thanks to all of you who are helping spread the word about Beyond the Uniform. One way that we know that helps is leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Special thanks to L. Gonzalez, who wrote, Beyond the Uniform is an awesome resource, both for military members thinking about transitioning or for civilian employers looking to learn more about the unique skill set that military members bring to the table. Would highly recommend. Thank you, L. Gonzalez, and all of you who have either written an iTunes review or shared Beyond the Uniform with your friends, families, neighbors, and everyone. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Margot. Well, joining me today in Hanover, New Hampshire, my guest is Margot Laurie. Margot, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hi, Justin. It's great to be speaking with you.
So maybe to start things off, to set the stage, if you ran into someone on the street who's in the military and they said, hey, Margot, what do you do for a living? How do you answer that question?
I would tell them that I wake up every day absolutely thrilled to go to my job at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College. I direct the Next Step program, which is a general management certificate program for military veterans and elite athletes. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of it. It's an incredibly rewarding experience and something that I'm proud to be a part of.
Awesome. And for those not familiar with the Next Step program, what's that look like?
So Next Step is part of Tuck's executive education portfolio. And as I mentioned, it's a general management certificate program, and it's delivered over the course of about 3 months. So we have a 2-month online learning phase, which is complemented by a 10-day residential experience here on the Tuck campus in Hanover. And the idea is that we provide essential business knowledge for military service members and veterans who are preparing to leave their military careers and embark on a business career.
That's great. I love that too, because it's consolidated. It sounds like it's consolidated in time. It's not like it's a 2-year undertaking. Like, they're able to get kind of like a concentrated, distilled amount of knowledge in a very short amount of time.
That's exactly right. Distilled is one of the words that I frequently use to describe the experience. It's kind of like the first 6 months of an MBA program, really packed down and delivered in a way that's both efficient in terms of the amount of time and also very accessible, because that online learning component allows our participants to take care of some of those really basic concepts like financial accounting or innovation strategy that underlie everything they'll do on campus. They get to kind of take a stab at that at home in the evening whenever they have time and really ease into the learning experience. And then we double down on it when they're here on campus. It's jam-packed, but by doing that, they're, you know, everyone is really forced to put their head down and focus in on the transformational work that they'll do here in the program. So you get a really big, you know, a lot of outcome in a short amount of time.
That's great. And in the work that you've done with veterans, what are some, are there common either problems that you see them kind of have to overcome, or maybe misconceptions they have when they leave the military?
Yes. And, you know, let me preface this by just telling your listeners that I'm a civilian. So I say that because I think it's a valuable perspective to kind of add to your arsenal of, you know, input when you're going through a transition. So keep that in mind. This is, you know, my observation from working with a number of veterans. But I think one of them is that, you know, it's just as valuable sometimes, I think, to disprove an idea that you have or something that comes to mind as a potential path as it is to prove it. So ruling something out can save you a lot of time and a lot of money pursuing something that might not be the right fit for you. And to give you a specific example, there are many applicants to the Next Step program who, you know, feel that an MBA degree is necessary for them to pursue the career they have in mind. But they come to Next Step, and not only do they realize that they have a lot of that information, it's just in a different context, they realize that what they want to do might not even require an MBA, or that they may be better served by filling in a very specific gap in their knowledge. Like, let's say they need to gain some technical skills around data analytics, but they don't need a 2-year degree. What they've disproved has actually been really, really valuable, because 2 years and a lot of money could have been better used in a different way.
I love that. I love that sense, because I myself, and I think a lot of listeners, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to know what the right answer is. And that can be, that could be a massive undertaking. And what you're saying, mm-hmm. which resonates, is the sense of just closing doors is just as valuable as finding the right one. And I love that sense too. Like you said, like, maybe you realize, oh, I don't need an MBA, or maybe you thought, I want to go down this career path, and maybe after just a little bit of information, you rule that out. Just thinking of all the time and energy and money that's saved in that discovery is really powerful.
It is. And, you know, the great thing about today's educational landscape with so many different online courses and, you know, not just the Next Step program at Tuck, which I'm, of course, very convinced that it's valuable, but, you know, other similar certificate programs and other executive educational programs, they really allow you to access very specific pieces of content in a low stakes way when you compare that to a full-blown master's or MBA program. You know, it's a very You're not risking a lot of time or a lot of money to either prove or disprove something that you might feel is right for you. So there are a lot of ways that you can do that.
Do you see any trends in what people do afterwards, like when they graduate the program, what they go on to do?
You know, we do get a lot of people who are interested in careers that line up well with the MBA experience. So a lot of people with interest in financial services or consulting, and more and more today, technology careers, or in fact in the energy industry. But it's hard to really generalize about Next Step, because one of the things that makes the program experience so exciting is how diverse our cohorts are. We have veterans and service members in the program with as few as 4 years experience up to 30 years of experience. So That yields a really broad set of backgrounds and perspectives and levels of experience. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint one outcome, because everyone is so different.
What I love about that is, I'm guessing there's some of this information that people could learn online or in a book or things like that, but when you're surrounded with people with different backgrounds and different levels of experience, I'm guessing that you're learning from your peers just as much as you're learning from like the curriculum or the instruction.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love so much about the program too. And one of our alumni from the third cohort, Navy SEAL captain, he said it best. He told me that he learned just as much from the person that was sitting on his left and right every day as he did from our professors. And to me, that really speaks to like the two biggest pieces of value that the Next Step program offers. One is the content, but two is the network and the connections that you'll create with the people in the classroom with you.
That's great. And I'd love to dive a little bit deeper into the I know you kind of briefly talked about it, but the type of topics that you cover, because my experience, and I'm imagining for many listeners, is when you're in the military, you often don't know what you don't know. And so even hearing you talk about the different types of things, you said like accounting, things like that, that might, for listeners, register for them of like, oh, these are things that, skills that I need to build up at some point that might make that transition easier.
Yeah, absolutely. So the curriculum for Next Step is built around three essential components. First is a strong foundation in business acumen. So that covers those topics that I mentioned previously and that you just reiterated, things like financial accounting, spreadsheet modeling, innovation strategy, corporate communications, branding and marketing, negotiation skills. Again, like these are the essential concepts of an MBA degree. And that broad base in business acumen is something that makes Next Step unique compared to, for example, Stanford's Ignite program, which I imagine many of your listeners are familiar with. Next Step will deliver a broad base in business acumen, so those general management skills that are relevant in all industries and all job functions. We don't dial in on, we don't do a super deep dive in any one topic. We're trying to equip you for anything that you might pursue. On that note, entrepreneurship is actually a big part of our program as well. But again, it's a broad base, a toolbox, if you will. And then the other two components of the program are career development skills and professional exposure. And these two kind of go hand in hand. So our career services staff work with all the Next Step participants on things like resume writing, interview preparation, and networking strategies so that they understand how to execute a successful job search. And then through our career day event, we aim to provide professional exposure. So that really gets at what you said before, Justin, the I don't know what I don't know. For some of our participants who've been in the military for, upwards of 20 years, today's business landscape is a like giant question mark. So What types of industries are out there that might be a good fit with something, with what motivates me or my interests, and how do my skills line up with particular job functions? And then even down to the super mundane, like what is it like to go to work and be at a desk? And like, then what do you do from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.? What fills your days on a very small level too? So it's all about helping to fill in some of those details and create a mental image of what are some outcomes and how might I reach those outcomes if they're the right fit for me.
That's great. I think that's wonderful. It's definitely one of the intentions of the show too, is to try and, usually our format is interviewing veterans about what they're doing now. And that day-to-day glimpse can be really powerful because you don't really know, especially like you said, those people who have served for 20 years, it's hard to imagine What does it look like? What time am I getting in? What am I wearing? Just these things that are, you know, I didn't know about those things when I was in the military. And I love that you're walking people through that. And it sounds like you're just removing a lot of the mystery, removing a lot of the unknowns, and doing it in a pretty rapid manner.
Yeah, that's right. And I think we do it in a way that's safe and approachable, because I'll use what to wear as an example, since you mentioned it. Like, mm-hmm. it can be, you can feel a little silly asking a question like that when you're in a scenario where it's really important to kind of look like you have all the answers and that you know what you're doing. But there has to be a place where you can be really honest about what you don't know, and it's okay. And it doesn't mean that you're not experienced, but like, that is one of the questions that we answer the most, and we talk about it quite a bit. And I intentionally don't answer that one all the way sometimes, because I want to get the participants familiar with that sense of like, I need to make a decision. I need to like put on a tie or not put on a tie and show up and feel okay about it. And it sounds silly, but those are the kinds of small experiences that everyone has when they make a shift into a new, you know, new job, no matter how experienced they are.
I definitely, when I got out of the military and went to business school, there was something that said like the alumni or the admin weekend was business casual. And I remember Googling around to see like, what is business casual? I was like looking at images and buying new outfits. But what I love about what you're saying is when you're surrounded by both veterans and these elite athletes who have similar questions, it normalizes it. You don't feel as odd having to ask this, because you realize no one knows this in that group.
Yeah. You know, and since you mentioned the elite athletes, I'd love to tell you a little bit about why we brought those two populations together and how special the outcome is for us. You know, so the athletes in the program serve two purposes, and, you know, this goes both ways, but obviously based on your audience, I'll orient this towards veterans. Mm-hmm. So the great thing about having these two groups together in the classroom is, on a logistical note, it makes the tuition for Next Step GI Bill benefit eligible. Mm. So an entirely veteran program is not eligible for GI Bill benefits, which is something that's very important to us to keep Next Step accessible for the audience for which it was intended. The other part of it is that, you know, bringing elite athletes who at first some people are like, why, you know, why are they in here? Some people get it right away and others kind of take a day or two to really warm up to it, but they see it very quickly that the skills and behaviors and traits that make an athlete successful at the Olympic, Paralympic, World Championship level, they're very similar to what drives success in the military and the outcomes that those experience, you know, develop in you. And of course, the context is different. However, when you bring them into a classroom, we're able to offer our participants a different perspective on a common challenge that is shifting from, you already had your dream career and now you're starting over at the bottom and you have to turn that into something all over again. They're going through the same challenge, but being able to view it through the lens of the other is incredibly powerful because they can be vulnerable, and it breaks down some of that military bearing and the tribalism that's often, you know, a product of being in a military only classroom or a learning setting. It's so important to be able to share honestly about what that's like and how difficult it is, and then find a source of support from someone who sees you so clearly and in ways that you wouldn't have seen yourself. It's really, really impactful. It gives me chills when I just think about it. And that's something that our veterans consistently mention as one of the most valuable parts of the experience.
That's pretty powerful. I've never actually thought of it in that way, but for some reason, when I think of like an elite athlete, let's say someone who's competed in the Olympics, it's like, wow, like I have a tremendous amount of respect. Like I know the amount, or I can imagine the amount of discipline and regiment and just extreme dedication it takes to compete at that level. But then to think of them in this business context, it's like, okay, I definitely still admire all of those traits. I trust that those traits will make them successful. And I'm recognizing there's a couple of skill sets they need to build up in order to reorient for this new career. And that makes the viewing the veteran through that lens. It's the same thing, like you're saying, but it's so powerful to view it like that. Yes, you've worked in the military for 20 years. You've got incredible depth and experiences, and there's some pieces missing, and we can fill those in to reorient you for that new start. That is very powerful how you pair them together like that.
Yeah, and one of the things that is so, you know, I think makes both veterans and elite athletes such great future employees is they're used to operating at a very high level. High performance is the name of the game. And I think that's really exciting to both groups when they come together during Next Step is they recognize that very quickly, that their mental process of, you know, approaching a task or a problem and breaking it down into steps and then achieving the absolute best results possible by leveraging the strengths of people around them, it's second nature, and they fall into that, and they're in lockstep with each other, you know, with someone that they've never met, yet they connect at such a deep fundamental level. And it's really empowering because I think there's a lot of mutual admiration as well. As I said, of course, this is a different context that it plays out, but elite athletes and veterans also, you know, they both serve a set of higher ideals than themselves that are really highly regarded. And that's really what motivates them. And they, you know, it's like you have an Olympic gold medalist sitting across from a green beret, and they're both just like, they couldn't admire each other more, but they don't see those things about themselves, but they can so clearly see it about each other. It is really special.
That's yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that. That's what it is. It's like you're seeing in the other what you don't see in yourself. And everything I was thinking about with these elite athletes, I would say for the members of the military as well, but it's just different when you see it. It's just like, I think you expressed that beautifully. You had said about the I had asked about the lessons that you learned. I just wanted to go back to that just in case there's something else you want to touch on. I love this first point you had about it's just as valuable to close doors as to like find the one that you're going to do. Any other trends that you'd want to share with listeners or things that you've observed?
Yeah. You know, one of them is just to have some patience and to be flexible. Transition is something that, you know, it's you set yourself up for success by approaching it in a thorough and organized way. I am totally a type A person like that. I approach like going to the grocery store in a thorough and organized way. So like, I completely understand when we have people coming in and they have, I've done this, I've done that, and I have this timeline, and like super, super organized and diligent about it, which is, as I said, an important part of the success. However, I think it really benefits to allow some patience for things to unfold, and also to be flexible that it might not always look like what you thought it was going to look like. I think about one of our alums who was kind of had hit a snag in his job search and sent me his transition dashboard, which is like a multi-tab spreadsheet with all of these resources and companies and, you know, a plan for this outreach, and everything was categorized. And it's like, look, I did all of this and I haven't heard anything back, or I haven't gotten anywhere yet. I'm like, just, you know, sometimes the world has to let things unfold for you. And I don't mean that in any sort of like mystical or religious way, but like, you got to give things time and patience. You planted all these seeds, you watered them, you have to let them grow for a little bit. And I know that's really hard, that I don't have that patience a lot of times too, but I think it's so important. Things become a little bit fraught if you overwork them. So to step back. And you know, the other part of that is that I think it's just as important to be able to make the best out of the way something turns out or what's offered to you as it is to be able to engineer the perfect outcome from the start. So there's certainly value to thinking about yourself, you know, very thoroughly and thinking, what would a really ideal situation for me be like? However, I'll use myself again as an example. You know, I ended up moving to Hanover because of my husband's job. I landed here and I didn't have a job, but I was, you know, based on my previous work experience, pretty confident that I would kind of get on my feet and see what happened. And I found this position with Tuck in executive education. And I didn't know about Next Step at that point. I took the job because I could do it. It worked out. To be honest, I was a little underemployed at the beginning of it. But then I learned about Next Step once I started working here, and I moved my way into the program, and it's now my entire role. So like, exec ed was kind of like, I don't know. I don't have any, my background's in sports. I'm sure it'll be fine. Let's see how it goes. And I could not have dreamt of a better outcome for me personally. So I share that anecdote just to hopefully convey to people that, you know, it's one thing to be able to say from the get-go, here's how I want it all to go. But it's just as important to be able to take what you're dealt and turn that into something that's wonderful and productive for you as well, because life doesn't always go by plan A.
That's great. Yeah, I can relate to that piece around the flexibility and patience. And I think part of that is in the military where things, at least in my experience, were a little bit more straightforward. I knew my promotion schedule. I knew the different career paths. Like, things were very orderly. And so I can imagine, you know, that affects how I approach my civilian career and thinking that it's going to be structured in the same way. And so I love that sense of patience. I love that idea of the guy having the spreadsheet. I could see myself having that, or many people I know. And then I also love that openness to serendipity of realizing that, yes, I couldn't, like for you, you couldn't have just gone straight into the position you're in right now. Like, you didn't know about it. You might not have been able to get your foot in the door there, but it's once you take that first step, at least to the second and third, the fourth, and eventually you find that dream job or that calling. And so sometimes I think when we try to know from the outset where the destination is, where it's going to end up, we're expecting too much of ourselves to be able to navigate through that when, like you said, it often unfolds once you start to do the work and take those initial steps.
Exactly. And, you know, if you are so sure of the destination, you oftentimes close yourself off to other options or other outcomes that may have been even better than what you thought of in the first place. So it's really hard. And I like that you used Anne-Marie Craig's word serendipity, because we are great friends of the Commit Foundation here. And I really believe in what Anne-Marie does. And I think that many people would be served by learning the lessons that they have to share about creating serendipity.
That's wonderful. What about, I'm wondering, what is the price to attend? And also, what's the process to applying to the program?
So the fee for participants is based on their AGI, their adjusted gross income. We have this fee structure in order to preserve affordability for the program in a fair way. Mm. So if the participant has an AGI of $70,000 per year or more, their fee for the program is $5,000. And if the participant has an AGI less than $70,000, their fee would be $2,500. And that fee includes tuition, housing, most meals, and all program materials. So on top of the fee, the only other thing they need to do is get themselves to Hanover.
That's great.
And the application. Yeah, so the application, in 2020, we will have one program in the spring, and that cohort is already full, and our wait list is full already. So listeners should be setting their sights on the spring 2021 program. The application for that will open in the fall of 2020, so probably in August, I would say mid-August. And the best way to receive more detailed information and updates when that application opens up is by going to our website, and there's a place where you can submit your name to receive more information. By doing that, you'll also receive any program announcements that we put out, so you won't miss any details.
That's great. That's great value. And we'll have links in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org, so you can get on that list and also be learning more information about the program. Could you also share a little bit more about the cohorts? Like, how large are the cohorts? How large are the class sizes?
Each cohort has between 60 and 70 participants. So it's a really fun group. They tend to be quite rowdy. It's like the most number of people that you could interact with in that amount of time and like really get to know everyone. And still, it brings a lot of fun and diversity. So there's 60 people in each cohort, as I said. And in 2019, I'm excited to say that we had two programs, which is our intent for the future. 2020 will be an exception because you may know that the Summer Olympics will be in August of 2020. So the timing of that doesn't really lend itself to a fall program. But generally, two cohorts a year is what we will offer going forward.
That's great. That's great. Are there any resources that you would recommend for listeners to check out?
Yes. I have something that I'm really excited to share with everyone, and that I could not recommend this more strongly. It's an online course by Andrew Sobel, a best-selling author and the founder of his own consulting practice. It's called Building Relationships That Matter. And it's It's an entirely online course, as I mentioned, and it's really a masterclass about how to build a network of trusted supporters, and it's more the very tactical approach to networking. So the reason why I endorse it so strongly, and why it's, as a matter of fact, included in our curriculum at Next Step, is because networking is really important to not just finding a job, but your success on the job. However, I think my personal opinion is that there are a lot of bad ideas about networking out there, and that are way too general. For me, I'm an introvert, and I also like very specific kind of instructions. Like, I get the value, but how do I actually do it? And that's exactly what Andrew's course will give you. And it really highlights that the best way to approach a network is by building something that's akin to a personal board of directors. So these are the 15 to 20 key relationships that each person should have. And this is really more focused around your work in, you know, your actual work once you've gotten the job. That's one thing that I'm constantly trying to point out to people in our program, is like, all this, you know, cultivating of like massive LinkedIn networks, like, don't put too much energy there, because the real contacts that are going to support you are people that you meet through your work, and that know you in a substantive way. So it's really about developing those relationships and kind of different types of categories. There are times when you will need a mentor for support. There are times that you'll need to leverage your relationship with your supervisor. There are times that you'll need someone to recommend or endorse work that you're doing. These are all different categories of relationships. And what Andrew's course does is help point those out to you and teaches you how to establish them and grow them over time. Mm. I've spoken to Andrew about this, and I'm so excited to share that he's generously offered a discount code for your listeners, where they can go to his website and, using the code, be able to purchase the course for $99, which is compared to the list price of, I think, $7.97. So it's a really significant value that they're getting, and I would strongly encourage everyone to take a look at it. There's a lot of information just to find on the website, explains it more clearly and in more depth than I have here today. But like I said, I think this is a really invaluable tool.
That's wonderful. And we will add that in the show notes, but an incredible discount. And I love that sense, because I agree that networking is such a vital skill. And it's one that I didn't really feel like I explicitly got trained on in the military. And so to be able to have someone with his background walk you through that process, that sounds like a powerful fit.
It really is. At the start of our interview, you asked me, you know, kind of what advice or perspective I had to share. And if I have a third one to share, it would be this: to complement the kind of military-oriented transition advice and support with some just civilian, you know, regular old transition advice, especially around networking and LinkedIn. I think there's sort of like this cottage industry of, you know, veteran service organizations that provide this, you know, career training and support, which are absolutely amazing and incredible. And there are some very, very high quality resources out there. However, it can be a little bit insulated and sort of operates in its own little bubble of veteran transition. And hopefully the goal is eventually you, by transitioning, you have left that space. And so I think complementing your preparation with resources like Andrew's course helps, you know, bring a lens of the world that you're hoping to join into the process.
I think that's great. I really agree with that. I think one of the downsides I've seen of the military population is that because there are so many free resources, there's a hesitancy to pay for things, or there's a certain cheapness. And I know I definitely shared that when I first left the military. And so, you know, for listeners, just to be explicit, I'm not getting anything from Tuck to do this interview. I'm not getting anything from Andrew Sobel to promote his course. There is a value in paying for things like this. Yes, it's $5,000 or $2,500. Yes, it's $99. Like, everything that I've paid for, I valued more, and it tends to be, in my experience, higher quality. I pay for a lot of different trainings. And so don't let the cost or the thought that it's not free, you know, in my opinion, don't have that cause you to seek out a free alternative, because sometimes the quality or the concentration of the material is not as potent as if you go for something else. So I just wanted to, that's just my two cents. I wanted to chime in there. Well, I always like to leave the last question open-ended, Margo, and we could take as long as you want for this, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that we didn't talk about that you would love to share with listeners, and I'd love to make space for that. I'm sure there's just things I don't even know to ask about that you have some wisdom to share with our audience. Or you could take it alternatively as, what are some final things that you'd like to leave with listeners before we wrap up?
Thank you for offering the space to do that. The biggest thing that I was hoping to share was really about the powerful connection that there can be found in our program between athletes and veterans, which I talked about. But I would love to read a quote that I jotted down from one of our veteran participants, because of course, you know, obviously I love the program, but take it from one of our alumni. Here's the quote. "I've never been to a course or training where I've been so emotional, raw, and open. Your formula with military and athletes is what does it. Each group thinks the other is the most amazing, which they are. Military or athletes alone would just be an overpriced transition assistance program. With the two combined with the course development, it's a game changer." And I wanted to share that. Obviously, I advocate for Next Step and what we are able to provide, but I think that, you know, in general, for veterans in transition, finding someone outside of your environment that you're so used to, in the place where you're going to be very soon, finding someone else to help you through that process in whatever way that is. If that's, you know, it's mentally challenging, it's emotionally challenging, it's physically challenging for many people. There's a lot. It's something that happens to your whole person. And so I think having these different avenues to seek support can be really empowering, and it's important to do that.
I think that's great. And one of the things I'm appreciating about your program is it seems, I don't want to say baby steps because that sounds condescending, but it's like these miniature steps, right? Like you're learning these skill sets, you're doing it in a very concentrated environment, and you're doing that on the skills front and knowledge front. And I'm appreciating that you're doing that from a networking standpoint. Like for me, like I got out, I went to business school. It was tossed into this potpourri of people, many with like backgrounds I'd never been exposed to. And it was a lot. It was like being thrown in the deep end. And what you're doing, it seems like, is you're introducing the military population to a very close cousin of this elite athlete with enough differences that they can both learn from each other and respect each other. And it's not like they're being tossed into an environment with their diametric opposite. And I'm appreciating that because it's such a skillful way to take both people from where they've been steeped, what they've known for so long, and to start to have them learn from others and learn different skill sets. I think that's a very, I imagine that's very helpful for the people in the program, because you're giving them the tools and support to grow in a way that's not stretching them too quickly. And then you're losing knowledge, you're losing opportunity. And before our conversation, I would have never put together that bond between elite athlete and military veteran. And you've made a really, really powerful argument to support how that intermingling leads to something that's better than the sum of just the parts.
I'm glad it's something that really fits with, you know, the mission of the Tuck School as a whole. And I think that's what makes Next Step a successful program. It really aligns so closely with Tuck's mission, which means that everyone involved, the professors, who, by the way, the majority of them waive their teaching fees to take part in the program, wow. The staff, our partner organizations, myself, my colleagues here in Exec Ed, the alumni of the Tuck School who generously support the program through donations. It's a product of the entire Tuck community, and I think you feel that in every interaction with us, that it's world class and it's transformative.
That's great. Well, for listeners, we will we'll add in the show notes the promo code. We'll add links to everything else so you can learn more about the Next Step program. But Margo, thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for sharing your time and perspective with the Beyond the Uniform audience today.
Of course. I'm delighted to do it. And thank you so much for offering us this time and space as well.
Before we wrap up, we wanted to cover one more item that we forgot to cover in the in the actual interview. And Margo, one of the perceptions sometimes people have is that this sort of program might only be for special operators or people like that. Could you just speak a little bit more to that?
That's right. We do tend to get a lot of applications from the special operations community, I think just because, you know, the skills and abilities that are honed there line up really well with business education a lot of times. However, that's not the intent of the Next Step program. Any veteran or service member with at least 3 years of service is eligible to apply, regardless of what branch of the military or what type of unit they served in. 3 years of experience is all that's needed to be eligible. And the ideal time to take part in Next Step is no more than 9 months prior to your transition. And for anyone that has, you know, more questions about their specific scenario, they are welcome to contact me directly. I'm happy to speak with them.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Mario. Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Nasiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.